Okay. Lavard, Chief Financial Officer's report.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
How are you doing? I'll just say that we management response to the auditor's communication with the board and the audit committee that Arlene passed by. We have a format here where we have those items on a timeline. That's what we were trying to work up. So we have a template on that, just so you can see what that looks like, and we can make a copy, if I can make a copy from here. But first, what I'd like to do is just go to my report, which I have written here, and I will find it in a second. I can't even get on email, although it says I can. I can't. I've been trying all day.
Put it on a stick?
Yeah, I have a stick. Okay, and I'll have it right here. Okay, then. Also, we had other financial documents that I'm not sure if you've gotten a copy of, but we have it here, and I'll pass those out after I finish speaking. So it's a pleasure to see everyone. Basically, my written report basically mirrors my prior reports and just give you an update on where we are, and that the point is that we have just gone through the first half of the fiscal year for 2010. So we and today is, I guess, the 24th. So what we have now is that we've had issues in the past in terms of getting the information and closing the books on the fifth workday. So we are doing that, with maybe one little exception where we close it on the sixth workday. But that's part, if you look at the audit communication, you'll see that's one of the issues that's outlined, is that the staff, the finance staff in the stations understand the importance of a close date. So we're working on that, and what we are doing actually in the national office is that we're closing one of the stations, closing BAI there in the national office, so we can get that done on the fifth workday. So just briefly, I'll read again. It kind of follows the format of what I've basically said in the past, and that the Pacifica Foundation continues in what I believe to be a new era of accountability and sustainability, with the results for the first half of the fiscal year available now for discussion and for analysis, and that the total revenue for March year-to-date, which is the first half of our fiscal year, is $7.7 million compared to a budget of $8.3 million, or about 7% worse than budget. The revenue is almost $200,000 better than the prior year, though, so that's very good. And the revenue shortfall, though, is primarily in listener support, with lower than expected.
Excuse me. Point of information. Do we have this report?
No. As she said, she couldn't get it out of the computer. We're going to put it on a disk, and it'll be circulated when she's finished.
Yeah. I know we had the financial statements, though. Did you get a copy of those, Campbell? We had financial statements that we have had. So I'll pass those out after the meeting, too. So I have hard copies here and some charts. So I'm sorry. Let me get back to where I was before I was so rudely interrupted. The revenue shortfall is primarily in listener support, with lower than expected fund drives at KPFA, KPFT, and WPFW, and much lower fulfillment rates at WBAI. And KPFK, our host, continues to produce stellar fund drives. However, a later start on the drives resulted in a negative variance to budget in listener support. But there's the concerns about the drive at KPFK and the type of drives that we're doing. I know there's been discussion on that, so that's another topic for programming. But in terms of the numbers, KPFK continues to produce $1 million drives and also with very good fulfillment rate for their for their drives. And although you know, this is kind of back to, you know, where we've kind of been over the last few years, and I think someone had mentioned about issues over the last 2 years. No, these issues have been here since the beginning of time, and particularly over the last 10 years are when we actually moved to the type of elective board that we have, and really trying to understand what the responsibilities are for the board and how do you drive these processes through the work environment. So basically, we had been told, and also this past year, the finance issues that we've really encountered included, you know, really, we really have gone through some dire straits, and I have to really applaud the board for the encouragement over the last year in terms of us being able to make it through that. Because we started last year, we really didn't have a budget. We had what we call a hole in the budget. We really didn't fund the national office with central services from BAI. That was like not there. And we had a $300,000 loan we had to pay. In addition, we got a lot of negative press saying that the national office was like raiding KPFA's funds. So basically, I kind of said what I've said before is that, you know, we've gone through this valley where we were set up, where they said, let the enemy face the problems to come. But I think we have gone past that, and we're now in a board and in a situation where we realize that we all have to work together to make this foundation work and to continue the success that we've enjoyed in the past in terms of the success of the message versus the success of issues in terms of governing. So the deficiencies in the infrastructure of the network and specifically in finance are being addressed in the management response to the auditor's communication, which you just got a copy of. And the foundation, and just back, the foundation net income for the first half of the year, we're actually in the black at $153,000. So over this first half, we have been able to work and to address some of the issues in which we're really addressing or tackling really more seriously now, where it's particularly at specific stations. And the successful business model of the foundation is developed, as I've said before, 60 years ago, continue to show success in the major cities of New York and Los Angeles with successful fund drives. Again, you know, how the fund drives are conducted and what your position is on how we do the fund drives and the premiums and how we push those, you know, that's another topic to discuss. But the other stations, including Washington and also Houston, they're really pushing other means for raising funds and for generating positive public relations. And one of the efforts, of course, now is the effort with the childhood obesity, and Arlena is also working with UCLA, and I think it's a Dr. Yancey on that. So, and WPFW is really driving that. So all of these things are really positive in terms of we don't have budgeted funds for public relations, but these are the things that give us, like, mounds of public relation in terms of they're also mission-fulfilling types of activities. And also, PFW, they have higher Arbitron ratings, which are really good in terms of our other stations. And the National Office or National Division continues to accumulate central services debt with over $1.1 million due year-to-date in 2010. And these central services cover major station expenses like the expense for Democracy Now!, the audit fees, and insurance expense. And the March year-to-date central services, I have these charts also I can give out, central services produces actual cash transfers totaling almost $600,000 in this year. We've received over $600,000 in central services, but over 66% of that was actually for central services from the prior year. So what's left in terms of the total central services that's due to the national office still is really high, and that's about $1.9 million, and I believe about $1.2 of that is actually WBAI. So, again, what we're trying to do is to help the stations in terms of how you apply your funds, but also we have to understand that we unless we pay Democracy Now, and we just made a payment, a quarter payment to Democracy Now, about $160,000, but we're still behind 4 months now in the month of April for Democracy Now. And the way we pay Democracy Now is through these central services. And that's what a central service is. It's paying these costs that actually help and fund these programs for our affiliates and also for the stations. And basically, I'd reported on the audit results, and it's basically about what we had reported earlier. The revenue for 2009 was $12.6 million, and there was a decrease in net assets of $2.7 million. KPFA contributed $0.9 million to that decrease, and WBAI $1.1 million. And contributing to the KPFA loss are the personnel costs, which the personnel cost for KPFA alone was $2.5 million, which is almost $1 million higher than any other station. So when we start looking at, we're talking about the audit response and where we need to monitor, you know, that is something that we know that when there was a reduction in force in November of 2008, this reduction in force did not happen at KPFA. And that's what's the part of the problem here. And it did happen at the other stations. Now, it's at WBAI, for example, and the reductions really cut out the piece of WBAI that was doing some of the fulfillment on their fund drives. So that's an issue, but the cost did go down. And, of course, WBAI's experience was a $1.1 million decrease in net assets. And, of course, we know that the rent for WBAI was $850,000 in 2009. So again, you know, where we're looking at in terms of the sustainability of the foundation, in terms of where we can really address where we can become more sustainable, are these huge costs. And WBAI's lease, I believe, ends in a couple of years. So I know everyone has been looking around at what we can do there and where we can go. And for all those who are listening to us on the internet, we're actually receptive to any type of offers that you may have in terms of helping us find a new facility in New York City for WBAI. And back to KPFA, most people really don't know. We have not reported headcount like I've wanted to do, which we are starting to do now. And we'll get that in place, too, as part of our getting information to you. But at the beginning of October, or the middle of October, KPFA had approximately 40 full-time equivalent people, meaning that the FTEs, in terms of the number of people who were working 40 hours a week, there were 40 people at KPFA. Now, the station where you're at, you know that headcount is not there like that. PFW, I think, has the smallest FTEs, probably about 8 to 10 now. So and of the 40 people, there were 26 union employees and 14 non-union employees. So that's really is what contributed to that huge loss last year. So since we are about now trying to not just identify problems or not trying to stick people with problems, but trying to really address what the issues are and see how we can move forward, I think there have been management changes at BAI, at PFW, at KPFA, and this is really directed at successful techniques in fundraising and adherence to the mission to allow the unfettered creative energies of the community and the staff to produce good radio. And these are basic steps that you need to turn around a decline in revenue and to lift the network to achieve the success of the past. So just briefly, the foundation enjoyed an unrestricted cash position of $1.4 million on March the 31st. I think a quarter ago, I think it was about $1.1 million. And KPFK continues to hold has the greatest cash balance at about $466,000, with KPFT continuing to enjoy the best cash to monthly expense ratio or reserve of all units for KPFT again. And the average monthly expense of KPFT expenses are approximately $105,000, and the cash balance at the end of March was about $220,000 over 2 months of reserves. Now, that's excellent, but this is another measure that we need to really work at in terms of bringing up those ratios for the foundation. And KPFT, I think, can lead the way in that. Okay, and again, for the first half of the year of 2010, revenue totals $7.7 million, expenses $7.5 million, and we have a net income of nearly $0.2 million, about $153,000. And KPFA and WBAI, we had the issues in terms of the losses last year, they continue in deficit spending for the first half of the year. And part of the KPFA deficit spending is due, again, to salaries. I mean, it's the same story here. It's due to salaries and related expenses where the expected staff reduction was not implemented, resulting in continued overspending, somewhat offset, of course, by the severance package that was also in the budget and vacation payoff. And WBAI deficit spending is due primarily to a failure to collect pledges through consistent invoicing, collecting installments or EFT payments, and also addressing the credit card declines list. And the challenge is to deliver on the back end of the fund drive, and that's the greatest opportunity that WBAI has and that most stations have. And as we concluded the audit, the auditor allowed us to look at our installment payments so we can consider those as reserves. So we all went through an exercise with the business managers, with the database managers to get this information so the auditor could validate that and also increase our revenue or our cash position for 2009. And what happened with BAI is that they could not even complete that task because the information just was not there and could not be found. So again, we have with this audit, and most people who see this communication, we have a huge opportunity to work together to fix this, which has been broken for since I've been involved with Pacifica, which goes back to about 1996. And the many accomplishments of the finance department, where again we're still short of staff by at least one person, one full time person, but we were able to conclude the audit, and we were able to conclude the audit successfully again because we have to work finance is not a standalone, but finance works with the database, with the MIMSIS database, with the development director, and working strongly with the general managers. And I think that also with our HR director, we've been able to probably work some of those things more closely or set some targets as to what we need to do to make sure that those relationships work. But again, the way we have been successful is by first identifying a task, putting all the resources together and everyone with a target, and then that's where we really achieve success. And basically, the finance staff, the ones who are, they have been working, doing the five-day close, so that's really great. And we all, again, realize that the database managers and the development directors are really part of the process of getting the finance work done correctly. And I think that if you look at some of the points there in the response to the audit letter, it shows that those are one of the things that we're doing we try to have monthly meetings with the business managers, and now we've set up a meeting, also setting up a meeting with the database managers. So we think that if we go and we tackle some of these issues, then when we find that also in the finance office, we have a number of due dates for CPP funding. And of course, this is very important. And to get these documents delivered and done, we're managing it from the national office so that everyone gets the right information in. But also, again, it's like you have a project, you work together, database and finance, and we can get these done things done quickly and also accurately so we can maintain our CBB funding. And I have a chart on that also I can distribute. And we are doing training. Lynn Magno and Efren Larinas in the national office, they went over in March for training over in San Francisco for Great Plains. And what we've asked in our meetings with the other business managers are for them to look around to see if they can find actually Great Plains training in their immediate area. So we're also, and also the other part of that is I'm trying to find funding from there are a number of like major donors, donors out there who have, you know, for some reason, and they've stepped away from some of our stations, but they're willing to come back, and they're willing to come back through contributions. So I'm really excited about that. We still have a slight little problem with our Great Plains, but we got all the information in, and we were able to produce reports. And as I mentioned earlier, our CPP required documents, we're trying to have the stations produce them and generate them, and then we distribute them from the national offices. That some of the issues, of course, that we've had over the past in terms of which has resulted in also our motion for fiscal accountability was the issue with KPFA, where we had a donation and the donation was not deposited immediately, and you'll see that's one of the issues, of course, that the auditor points out, and I don't think we need any more hint than that. And just, you know, I kind of went over in terms of from my prior CFO report, again, was the fact that that when something happens like that where we could perhaps miss a significant amount of funds, that we know that that's where we really have to start making our corrections. And again, as I said before, we welcome the challenges in 2010, and that we really believe that this is going to start Pacifica Foundation Finance Department will become a model for other not-for-profit accounting. So, and what I have is I have a number of charts with bar charts which shows our the year-to-date performance, the net income, the loss shows it compared to budget. And again, it shows that KPFA and BAI are the two units that are performing, that did not produce a positive revenue, net income for this first half of the year. So therefore, they have the greater opportunity to make that happen for the second half of the year. And it's imperative that that happen. And also, I want to tell you that we are beginning our budget for 2011. Now, some of the stations who are really always ahead, like KPFT, they've already started their budget process. They've talked about issues. And where we are with the Finance Committee is that we had a budget timeline. So what we'll do is that they want me to meet with the treasurers just to go over our process. But the treasurers are supposed to report back to me to let me know where they are in this process, because most people have already started. They've already started talking to their departments within the station to determine the budget for 2011.
Are you going to circulate those?
I'm going to circulate these. I have all of these, too.
Yes.
Are we going to be allowed to ask questions concerning the response to the bank? Are we going to be?
Well, I had suggested that you all read it and we come back at some later time with questions about it.
I don't care when we do it. I just want to know.
Yes, and the answer. Yes.
And we're going to do it in executive session.
I guess we have to.
I have a question about.
It's a confidential document.
Right.
I have a question about not the response or the recommendations, but the actual auditor's report, which I think is appropriate for an open session.
Okay. Well, to LeVar?
Yes.
I'm sorry. What was the question?
Well, it's been emails have been sent to the National Board by somebody from the WBI LSB stating that the auditor's report shows that the foundation lost $4 million of revenue between 2008 and 2009. That statement was based on the statement of assets in the auditor's report, which showed a 2008 statement of assets of in the neighborhood of $16 million, and the 2009 was in the neighborhood of $12 million. Now, James Ross, who was the former chair of the Finance Committee, has made some comments about this that I would like to get a reply from, if I may. May I read his comments? Okay. The case that WBAI's listeners support, he's taking WBAI assets as a case in point here. The auditor's report in this case. So the case that the WBI's listener support income declined from $3.35 million in fiscal year 8 to $1.61 million in fiscal year 9 does not stand up to scrutiny. I know the auditors reported this, but I don't believe it. It does not jive with either the MEMSA's data on drive income or Pacifica's own income statements. The auditor seriously needs to explain where these numbers came from. One thing the audit committee could do is get some clarity around this. And here's the problem as he sees it. There is a dramatic year-to-year change in listener support and donations from WBI from fiscal year 2008 to fiscal year 2009. The 2008 audit puts this number at $3,035,000. That's page 18 of the audit. The 2009 audit puts it at $1,614,000. That's page 26. This drop, 47%, doesn't make sense in light of WBI's drive income in the 2 years. Fiscal 2008, WBI's drive in fiscal 2008 brought in $3,059,000 in pledges, according to MEMSIS data. Multiplied by 0.765 fulfillment, a reasonable number for WBI in fiscal year 2008, makes that $2,339,000 in revenue. A reasonable estimate of other related WBAI income, donations major donor and a few odds and ends, is $210,000 for fiscal year 2008. Together, that makes $2,549,000 in listener support and donations in fiscal year 2008. I don't understand how the auditor got the number to be over $3 million. Now, for fiscal year 2009, WBAI drives in fiscal year 2009 brought in about $2,706,000 in pledges, according to MEMSIS. Multiplied by 0.682 fulfillment rate, what we actually achieved, that comes to $1,845,000 in revenue from drives. Add to that income from related sources, donations, websites, etc., of about $150,000, then the total becomes about $2 million in listener support and donations. So I don't see how the audit number is only $1.6 million. I've asked this question before, but not in as much detail. There seems to have been a difference in the method of computation between 2008 and 2009. And in any case, we have to get a clear explanation from the auditor that can reconcile his numbers with the MEMSIS data that we have. And I would like to get a detailed explanation, including the auditor's workbook notes, if that's possible. That's my request.
Perhaps Nia and I should talk with Tony Pope, but I can give you some information in terms of that there was when they initially did the audit, I guess last year, when they started audit, I guess I started in February of last year, but when they determined the pledges receivable, the methodology that they use, that is not what they use this year. And if you look at the audit from 2007, I looked at, and it showed like pledges on for BAI at $723,000. And if you look at this year's audit for 2009, it's $68,000. So they obviously changed the way they actually determined the pledges receivable. And as I said, when we went through the exercise with BAI to determine the value of those pledges, to determine if you could recognize that, because on an accrual basis, you would recognize the pledges at the end of the year of a certain percentage as revenue. So therefore, when they recognize this revenue, so we just have, we need to confirm with Tony Pohl, when they recognize this revenue in the prior year, it was not correct. Again, in 2007, it was $723,000 in pledges and other receivables. And this year, at 2009, it's only $68,000. And I can tell you that when they went through this exercise, and if you look at the information there on that auditor's communication, that we could not get the information out of WBAI in terms of the audit trail. It was not there. And the last measure of trying to increase the revenue for BAI was on installment payments. We went through this long, and I have a sheet. I have it on here. I'll send that out also, that shows we went through in detail, you know, all of the, and some of the stations have already done this. So we pulled all this information together, working with the database managers, Terry Guy and Chris at KPFA, and we worked with Bertol, really pulled this stuff together for BAI. But it shows that the fulfillment is not there at BAI. That the basic processes, which I've sent out in an earlier meeting, and I'll send out again, those things are not being done.
Well, LaVarne, I understand that, but the point is, we had a lower fulfillment rate, and we missed the installment payments, and all that led to a reduction in revenue. But the point is, although the numbers don't make sense, that maybe that led to a reduction of 20%, but not 47%.
No,
so that's what we have to reconcile with the auditor.
That's what I said. Nia and I should get with Tony, and so he can go through the reconciliation. Because, again, I mean, the big drop is $723,000 in pledges receivable in 07 and 68 Nia. So that definitely they have got because they could not prove those installments were income for BAI. Now we were able to prove it with the other station, so we were able to actually increase the revenue for them through this exercise, but not at BAI. But I think you're exactly right. We owe the audit committee, and I wish to get Tony to go through the deltas on there and to show the change in how you value your pledges receivable.
Okay. Other questions?
And shall I add that to the list? I'll add that to our list.
Okay. And do you think we can actually get the? I understand you can ask for and receive the working notes of the auditors as to how they made their computations. Maybe that's overkill. I don't know, but that's a reasonable request.
I'll give Tony a call this afternoon, and he was out of the country, but I believe he's back now.
Okay.
So I'm sure he will gladly sit down and work that, and we can schedule something for an audit committee report. I mean, I think it's best for the report to be done in the audit committee.
I agree. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just a point of order.
Yes.
I'll be happy to work with LaVarne, and she and I have communicated via email. But I just want to make sure that the audit committee isn't overreaching. That's what I read earlier. The finance committee monitors financial transactions. The audit committee makes sure that things are done according to policy and with adequate controls. So that would be for the finance committee to verify the numbers.
Well,
this is the audit. This is 2009.
2008, 2009 is the audit
numbers.
So you are declining to work with LaVarne?
I will work with LaVarne, but I want to make it clear that when it comes to verifying the numbers, that's for the finance committee to do that.
I think when we went over our responsibilities, I think it said for 2009 for the past that would be audit committee responsibility there. So I'll call Tony Pohl, and he can tell us if he. Either way, or we could even have a joint committee, but I think it is an audit task.
Let's see. Someone had their hand up. Sean.
Yeah. Hello. Can you hear me? No. Are we on?
Yeah, I believe we're on the street.
Are we on?
We're on.
There we go. First of all, LaVarne, I hope your mother's feeling better.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's been a long ordeal.
Yeah, and I appreciate you in light of that being here today. And I do have some questions about the response to the our response to the auditor's report, but we'll save those for, I guess, executive session. But the question I want to ask that I think I can ask in open session, correct me if I'm wrong, we recently had a deduction in our CPB funds because every station was using very unique, their own individual numbers, as I understand it, and we appealed this. Were we successful in that appeal?
We have not been, but on the positive side is that Pacifica Foundation receives stimulus funding from the CPB this year. So when we raised this as a possibility in terms of looking at this, I think this was back last year, probably a year ago, we were actually told that that was insane for us to consider this, but we did, and it happened, so we did get additional funding.
And that did replace what we originally lost. And am I right, did we lose it because we weren't using unified accounting principles or standardized accounting principles?
What happened? I have a sheet here. I'll distribute this too, which shows the CPB funding. What happened is that I think I've talked about this before, and I keep saying this. I'm trying to stress it again. Is that we are one foundation. When they does the audit, it's the foundation that has the responsibility and accountability. And that previously, I think there was a direction over the last 8 years or so that each station, I guess, is standalone, and that. But that's not the fact. So when the information was sent in for CPB funding, information was sent in that was inaccurate. So this year, what we're doing, like I said before, is that all of the, and we have trying to get a timeline on that too, so that stations will know when these reports are due for CPB. The reports come into the national office. We review them. We actually, you know, everything is electronic now. You go on, you sign off on them so that, you know, we will give the consistent information, and the information was supposed to have been for the national board, not for your individual boards. And that really, and that error alone cost us, and I believe that happened at KPFA, so that cost us funding. So, but again, with our loss this year, you know, I've been warned, I need to, I guess, look at it more in depth, that our CPB funding will be impacted.
Thank you.
Sure.
Other questions for LaVon?
I'd like to be on the stack as soon as I can find my document.
Okay.
Yeah, we got a torrent of paper. This is turning into an AARP meeting with all this paper.
Well, all right. If you want to take a moment to look at the things, that's fine. I'll be back in this chair. Yeah, you're in the chair.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. The chart, like we have, in 2008, the CPB funding was about $1.7 million. In 2009, it was $1.4 million. And this year, it's again, the strict is $1.4 million, but we got an additional, I think it was $158,000 in the stimulus funding. So, you know, year over year, the decrease was from 08 to 09, it went down about 14%.
And we got how much from the stimulus again?
I think I'm trying to remember. I think it was like 158,000. This was like 30. I think it was like 158.
Okay.
LaVon?
Yes.
This is Leslie. I want to thank you for all the reading material. I really didn't know what I was going to do with my evening. now I'm very clear, so thank you.
Well, this is what happened when you can actually close your books on the fifth workday.
All right. A few questions here as I just very quickly go through the consolidated income statement, and I may have more later. But I'm looking specifically for overages and expenses that should, I think, be fixed expenses. Okay? I understand that income is variable. I understand a lot of our expenses we can't anticipate, but there are a few here, just a handful. And let's see. Again, I'm looking at the consolidated income statement. Page 4. In December, in taxes and licenses, we had $21,000, which left us with nearly $28,000 in a deficit variance from our budget. And that's one of my concerns. Do you want them all now or one at a time?
Oh, I said page 4 on consolidated?
Page 3.
Oh, I'm sorry. You said
page 3.
Page 3.
I may have said page 4, but I meant page 3. Taxes and licenses in December 2009.
Well, you know,
I'm on line 93, column H, and looking over to column AX.
Yeah, if we looked at probably at Houston, we'll probably find that some of the explanation on that. They pay property taxes.
Okay.
And then also we pay, see, people don't know this. In the national office, we have to pay licenses and fees to all the states where we do business. So Christine, she gets ahead of this. We have a broker. They send it out. She makes sure all of that is in and paid. So, and again, you have property taxes, and that's probably to Harris County.
All right. My concern here is the variance from the budget, as much as anything. That mm-hmm. leads to a $28,000 budget variance. And I guess my questions are always, why didn't we conform with the budget at that juncture in December?
Oh, quite. Well, I guess what happened, this is my other thing was to do my little finance 101, is that, you know, when you do a budget, you kind of look at your prior year, you see what expenses, and then you try to look at anything new that's happening. So I have it over here. If I looked at the station to see where that happened, then we probably can see why okay. it stuck out. And if we look at the full year budget, which I have here, and I can see whether it's, because some of these are like expenses like
get carried over from another quarter,
just,
I understand.
Right, it's just a timing.
Yeah.
So I have the budget here, and I will look at.
But we do have the budget variance, and, you know, if that's an early payment on something, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would make me very happy.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't, you know, again, and no criticism, just a note that in budgeting, we really do need to look at the figures this year to create the budget next year.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what I did very... Yeah, that's what... I've only been looking at what I think should be fixed expenses. I mean, taxes and license are predictable.
You know, it's amazing that some stations are like right on some like major items. Like, you know, just want to give BAI if salaries are like right on for our year to date. So that's very good. You guys did a good job in Bertolt. That's what I thought.
Okay.
It's Harris County taxes. So she probably has it like in April or later. I'll look at it.
They were paid in two quarterly installments, is what you can see here. One in December mm-hmm. and one in March.
Right.
Exactly.
And that adds up to $29,453.
Use the mic.
Give me a quarterly taxes.
Yeah,
give me a quarterly by the taxes for that.
It's taxes. It's
can that?
Yeah, sure. If you know what it is,
yeah. Because I'm on the finance committee of KPFT. Also, we have been fighting our county over taxes, whether we're tax exempt or not for the property taxes. And according to the state law, we had appealed this and we hadn't paid it. Anyway, we lost the appeals. We had to pay the back taxes, but we got a friendly state legislator to get a bill through the legislature in the last session that now makes us exempt. So in the future, we won't be paying property taxes, but we did have to pay some back due taxes that we had appealed.
Very good.
And that explains why it's outside the budget.
Exactly. May I ask about the on line 86, line AX, again, the variance of 23.5 on rental expense for the tower site.
I'm sure this is BAI. And if you look up at the office, it's over. I mean, it's a favorable variance. So you kind of like balance it too. And what has to be done with the office rent, the tower, and Wall Street is that you have to do a reconciliation on those costs. So we will Lynn will do that. But that's what it looks like. It's just that. It's up, it's high on one and low on the other.
And one more for the moment, as I say. Again in December, line 111, tape restoration and preservation. Mm-hmm. Suddenly we're spending $39,000.
I'm sure this is, if we look at, we have to go to PRA and see what they actually spent that month, that month, because they're working on a number of projects.
Right.
So I'm sure that's what it is. And if I look at PRA and look at that line.
And I could safely take a guess that PRA is probably expecting some grant income to come back on that.
Exactly. And if you look at, the revenue, there should be some offset, because they do, right, they have the grants, and you're exactly right, Leslie.
Okay. That's training and consultant on line 52, page 2.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need a detailed explanation. It's not a big figure. Mm-hmm. But we also have a variance on consultants on line 71. Just a suggestion from a board member that this may not be the time for going over our budget on consultants. And I don't want to get into personnel matters here.
Uh-huh.
But just a thought that consultants' fees, frankly, at this financial juncture, are hard to explain.
Okay, we'll speak to that in closed session.
Thank you.
George had set up a few minutes for me.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Are there more questions? No, from the PND.
I'll just go with one. On the Pacifica Foundation fiscal year 2010, March year-to-date performance, we've got revenue compared to expenses. And the parenthetical statements that expenses include central services, is this cash or accrual?
It's all accrual. Central services, it's accrued.
Accrual.
Right.
Okay.
And I gave you the information, the cash, and I have a chart there to give you that exactly.
Right, I saw that.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? Okay. Well, it is 3 minutes to 6. 3 minutes to 6, and we are about to adjourn. At 8 o'clock, you can ask whatever questions you like.
What about if we were able to ask questions of the affiliates director earlier? So why not to the
CFO? Because this isn't the way it's done. And we're about to break for dinner. Well, I'll leave it up to the group. Do you want to hear the question?
No, we want to go to
dinner. No, sorry.
Sure. Ask it tonight.
Sorry. I've asked them. I didn't. All those who would like to hear this question, put your hand up.
I think it's improper to.
All those who don't. I think you're right. So I take it we want to go to dinner. Be back at 7:30. My apologies for the room not being open at 2 o'clock. It'll be open at 7:30. Let's be here and. Listener comment is scheduled for 8 o'clock.